I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Okay, welcome back. It's KSL's unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us on a Thursday. Thanks for hanging out with us on the program. If you ever want to download the show, if you want to get the old podcast going, download the podcast anywhere podcasts are found, or go to KSLSports.com. You can click on the podcast button and find Scott and my ugly mugs right there. I'll speak for myself. I'll say my ugly mug and then Scott's.
Well, and then what I say after that is what? If you don't have an ugly mug, Alex.
No. Listen, I know where I'm at, all right? And so here's what that is. I have a serviceable face. You know what I mean? My face is like a middle reliever. All right, it gets the job done.
But you're long on personality.
Long on personality. That's really good. That's the way you want to be known throughout
Serviceable
history.
Serviceable face, shorter on the hair, long on the personality.
Scott, I've got this little thing I want to bring up right here, and that is the ever-changing world of college football is it's a world that keeps on turning. We got some news today.
College football chaos on KSL's Unrivaled.
Jealous much, Scott Mitchell?
I am green with envy.
The Cougs have signed up another game on their schedule. Now up to four. What's wild is seeing headlines. And the headline's like, BYU now bolsters their schedule to four games by signing up the Troy Trojans in a home-and-home series. That's my favorite part, too, when they do the whole home-and-home thing.
Right.
So BYU and Troy have agreed to a home game September 26th. Does that date sound familiar to you, Scott? September 26th?
It sounded like the old start of the Pac-12
That's
season.
That's right. Yes. That would have been when you'd have been up in Pullman. Instead, the Cougs are going to be kicking off their home schedule. Well, maybe they schedule somebody before then. But let me just show you why I don't think that'll happen. I think they're doing this with some design. And you tell me if I'm wrong, Scott. You have the Navy game on September 7th. And then you have 2 weeks, I guess it'd be two, and I guess it's almost 3 weeks until that home game against Troy.
I don't think there's any strategy in it, Alex.
You think it was just whatever they got?
You're overthinking this one.
Get what you get?
Yeah, it's just like, we'll take
it. Troy
is like the Colorado School of Mines.
Oh,
it's like you don't even know they have a football program.
How dare you are. Listen, they have won the Sun Belt six of the last 14 years, my friend.
I will just tell you that right now I take Troy. I take 8 games of Troy.
Right. It took eight Troys
games of Troy.
And one yep. BYU. Okay, so
I'd come there for 5 of the 8.
So Troy and BYU. Now, when we get to our what are the odds a little bit later, I'll ask you what are the odds that game actually gets played. But because there's, you know, I walked out of here last night out of KSL Broadcast House, and I got like one of those why the long face, you know, kind of responses from Dave McCann. And the reality was is that all the stuff we're talking about, it still doesn't feel like we're 100% going to have even the games that are on the schedule. And while BYU might be even in the works to try to schedule more games, and they're now at five or four games, I look at it and I go, okay, but how many of these are actually going to happen? That being said, scheduling a Sun Belt opponent, and Troy is, you know, high-powered offense. This is like what they're known for is they show up. They surprise a lot of people. They kind of have that Appalachian State sort of quality to them where it's like, yeah, we were like former national champions in Division II a bunch of times. And since we've been to the FBS, we've already gotten to a bunch of bowl games. And we quietly beat all the smaller teams pretty easily. And then every once in a while, we sneak a game in. This isn't a guaranteed win for BYU at all. I think it'll be
– please. Please,
Scott, listen to me.
Please stop.
This is just
please
like this
stop
is
patronizing me.
Listen
oh
to
my
me.
Goodness.
Listen to me.
This is not a guaranteed win. No,
Scott,
Lord,
I was supposed to listen, I'm trying to get into like midseason form here. Will you stop
wow.
embarrassing me in front of the people?
It's
hey,
the,
this game could be anybody, Scott.
It's their first home.
Do you remember
game
when BYU only beat Liberty by a touchdown?
Those days are in the past, Alex.
That was last year, Scott.
They're in the past.
Yeah, last year. I'm just saying this Troy game is after you go to Navy and you get maybe a win there at Navy, you come home, you get a W against Troy. Not a bad 2-0 start before you start things back up in October.
I think BYU is actually going to have more games even before Troy. I really do. I think they're going to slowly get some. I'll bet they'll have a decent season before everything's over. And it's part of. I don't think people are trying to shut down college football. I really don't. I think there's a concerted effort to say, hey, we're going to try to make this thing work. So why not schedule games? And BYU is a good opponent. They'll have those opportunities. I actually, and I mean this sincerely, I actually think this will be.
Here comes the patronizing.
No,
part.
This is not.
Okay.
I think this will be the best team Kalani's had since he's been.
The Cougs,
yes.
You're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, what that's a tough thing to do, to have one of your best teams
I know.
And to maybe play five or six games, maybe four, five,
I
six games.
I think they'll get more than that, Alex. I really do.
One of the things that was interesting that was talked about in practice this week was, and our own Matt Biamonte asked Zane Anderson this question about this, you know, about scheduling and things like that, about the fall versus the spring. And you and I were kind of discussing it during show prep today about, like, so what's going to happen? Can a spring really happen? And Matt actually asked an interesting question to one of BYU's defensive captain, Zane Anderson. Take a listen to the question.
Zane, obviously things change by the minute, so who knows what it's going to be like in the next couple of days. But would you rather personally play as many games as you can in the fall or potentially more games if it was postponed to the spring?
Okay, Scott, I'm going to pause it there. Before we get Zane's answer, I want to hear your answer.
Well, my answer is you're not going to get more games in the spring.
Oh, okay.
There's no the
so
only
your answer is C. Would you rather? Well, I'd like to play a little bit.
All right, welcome on back to the Love Shack, which is KSL's unrivaled. I'm Scott Mitchell. He's Alex Curie.
Why did we play this song, Scott?
Because I love this song. Are you
we made
me?
A decision. No, I'm not saying – no, this is a –
Why did we play this song?
Because I got me a car. It's as big as a whale. To the Love Shack. Come on. Mine is actually is really as big as a whale. When you have five kids
– yes.
The Suburban is as big
yes.
as a whale.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. But yeah, B-52s, that was our – I started singing it during one of the breaks, and then Scott was like, ooh. And I said, ooh. We got to do that as a little bit of a rejoin here. So here we are, final segment of the program here. And do we already kick off the two-minute drill, or did you have something outside of the two-minute drill, Scott, that you wanted to bring up before the open court here?
Not really. I mean, if we want to talk food, I'm
Ooh.
Learning. I'm
oh.
learning how to cook chicken in the Instant Pot.
In the old Instant, yeah. The Instant Pot has been. You know what? I'll just leave it at that. The Instant Pot has been a work in progress, and
it sits on my counter all the time.
Yeah, it's there. It's
yes.
Look, chuck roast. Like a 20-minute chuck roast in that thing, man.
Yeah,
it's
but
amazing.
You should have the Larry roast. The chuck roast is okay, but the Larry roast, oh, my goodness, is that a good roast?
Scott, the two-minute drill, the music that's playing, the old NFL
yes.
music, Let the people know exactly what that means.
All right, well, at the end of the game, you got to go down the field fast and score a touchdown. You just got to score some points to win the game, so you hurry. Our show, same thing. We got a lot to talk about at the end of the show. We don't have a lot of time, so we talk a little bit about a lot of things. We win the day, finish the show, and go home happy. Well, I'm happy now just because of Love Shack.
Love Shack right played? Yes, yes. Yeah. And the NFL music might be the best. It might be an all-time music segment.
Never gets old.
I want to bring this one up. First of all, it has to do with my Seahawks. I think you have
a good one to bring up.
Well, this one is actually kind of a sad deal because the Seahawks and you know, look, the NFL's serious about keeping everybody. You know,
I don't think this is a sad deal, Alex.
Okay, so here's what happened. Sad deal for this young man because
rookie wide receiver for the Seahawks.
That's right.
Tries to sneak someone in the hotel room.
Yes, a guest.
Yes, of right, a female guest.
Yes,
which just in and of itself is against the rules. I mean,
yeah. So you can't have, you can't be bringing. I was trying to put this. I was trying to figure out how to put this.
Oh,
but here's the deal. You can't do that. Tried to sneak
even without COVID.
Right. Tried to sneak a female guest into the old hotel, and that didn't go over well with the coaches. And if things don't go over well with the coaches in the preseason or going into an NFL season where we don't want to mess around,
could
the Seahawks,
you imagine,
the Seahawks cut Kemba Sivran this
good for them.
Because he was caught on video trying to sneak a female visitor into the team hotel. Hey, listen, young men, here's a novel idea. Just take the weekend off. Just one, okay?
It's so stupid. This is so stupid because you're in a hotel.
Okay? Yes.
There are cameras everywhere to start with. The second thing is, why would someone be so selfish as to risk the entire team's – I mean, because just say that this person he brought in had COVID.
It's my lady friend, man. She's not my girlfriend. She's a lady friend.
Well, I don't care what friend she is. it's so irresponsible. And he should have been cut from the team. The interesting thing about this, if it wasn't, you know, Kemba Sivran,
yeah,
and it was someone like Bobby Wagner or Russell Wilson,
then what?
Then it's a debate.
Then it gets weird.
Then it gets really weird. But to the credit of the Seahawks, seriously, this is they should do this, and it sends a message that I think everyone in the NFL needs to realize is you have to take this seriously. If you really want a season, and we as fans of the NFL, we want to see the season. And so I appreciate that that they took a very, very hard, firm stance.
Remember when you were almost starting off in your NFL career and it got cut short because you had to have that female guest at the hotel? Come on, Kemba Sivran. And you know what? Your name's no good, and you don't deserve to be on the Seahawks. You know why? Because we're a championship-caliber team, and we don't need you. I'm going to bring up another little quick Seahawks aside. Let me ask you about it. Because they got Jamal Adams, right? One of the premier safeties in the NFL currently. And they just traded for him from the Jets. The Jets defensive coordinator is saying that, quote, he may get bored in Seattle. They don't run nearly as complicated safety systems as we run here at the Jets. I want to just run past you something here, Scott. When it comes to defensive backfields in the NFL in the past 5 years,
right?
Do you think to yourself, man, I wish we could run things like the Jets, like the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets? Look, you had Jamal Adams, and you barely were able to keep this thing together.
Maybe,
all right?
Maybe it tells you something about how simplicity actually,
yes,
is actually complicated. He's
going to get bored. He's going to get bored,
right,
in Seattle. They don't run the type of systems that we ran, like back here at the Jets. And he's going, amazing, perfect. You mean the place where they have built all-pro safeties forever in the last decade, I could have a shot to play there, and it's not going to be as complicated as when I was at the Jets and we were losers?
And we haven't won since the 60s.
Right.
Joe Namath.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no.
I think he's probably fine. That's why I was like, the coach, if you want to take a dig at a guy, you don't say, hey, our system, our safety calls are so complicated.
Without getting into this too deep, there's too deep. That's actually
there you
coverage.
Go.
there are only certain things a defensive back can do, a safety. It's just, there's like four or five, and that's it. I mean, you can count
so
on one
what,
hand.
So what was he saying? That, what was he saying then? He just started to go into some garbage about how their calls are they don't have nearly as much. The safeties have so many calls they got to make in New York. It's like, please, who cares? Get over yourself. Nobody, you guys can't make calls. You guys don't know how to make calls.
Less is more.
Okay. Mark Emmert from the NCAA finally made the call, Scott. No fall championships after most leagues have postponed all of their falls. Anyway, the NCAA followed suit by saying there will be no fall national championships. How does this affect college football? We still don't know because they don't actually have a fall football championship, and they haven't for a long, long time. So who cares what the NCAA says, because I'm still going to watch some football this fall.
Yeah, it'll be. I think it'll be just entertaining to watch to see if this thing can get pulled off, and then it'll be fun to watch if it does to see the the kind of Pac-12 commissioners and mucky mucks going. Yeah, we got mud on our face on this one, and it'll be just a really bad thing. Or if they go, "Ha, told you so," the season never went off, and someone's going to be right, and someone's going to be wrong, and someone's going to be sad, and someone's going to be happy. But it's not going to be because they're winning or losing championships.
All right. Let's call it there, Scott.
Okay.
For Scott Mitchell. Did you have fun today?
Yes, I did have fun.
Yeah.
Tin roof. Rustin'.
Got the Love Shack playing this last segment here. So, obviously, we're feeling pretty good about things. I don't know if the music's still playing. I don't even know. I mean, but this NFL music's how we go out, so I don't want to screw that whole mojo up. I don't want to. The Love Shack video, by the way, very brings back a lot of good memories. So
always good memories.
We'll make more good memories next week here on KSL's Unrivaled. For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. We'll talk to you next week, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Do A or B? Scott goes, I'm going to go with C.
I'm going to go with C.
Okay.
Well, no. So the question is, no. If I was Zane Anderson, I'd rather be right where BYU is right
okay.
now.
Okay. All right.
If I'm the University of Utah, I'd rather play in the spring. Actually.
Right, because that's your only option right now.
No. If they had the option, I think it's better for Utah in the spring. But this
then
is
right a,
this
now is, you mean?
Absolutely.
Okay. You mean with the Pac-12 canceled?
No. Look, Utah's a really young team.
Oh, so it might be better to actually get him developed.
Oh,
okay.
Completely.
All right, yes. I get it. Yeah. All right, so let's listen to what Zane Anderson had to say about it.
That's a tricky question. I think I've prepared so far this whole year, and I think a lot of our guys have prepared to play right now, and our bodies are kind of in tune for that. And so it'd be kind of weird playing in spring, but at the end of the day, I just want to play. You know, I've come back. This is my 60 are coming back, and like I tune in my body, I've worked so hard, and so I just want to play, and whether that's now or in spring, like I want to have a season and show what I can do, and I know that's how my teammates feel as well.
That's so, a real thing, Alex, by the way.
It's like, look, I mean, he's kind of the Britton Covey of BYU's team, right, where he's injuries and he's been here a long time. He's had a massive amount of potential. He's even like an NFL caliber guy in terms of his speed and his strength and how big he is. And he just hasn't been able to dial in. And then you go, imagine getting yourself, your body into that shape and then having to put it on pause right now.
Yeah, that would be hard. But aside from that, I'm just telling you, it's a weird thing. Your body gets it when you play so long, your body gets used to, okay, it's the training camp mode. Even the off season, it's like your off season preparation time and your body is used to that. And your body goes through these cycles, and it's almost like the moon, and it's a real thing, and so it's actually odd, and it's odd, and I'm speaking from experience.
Scott, moon cycles?
Yes.
Come on.
No, I'm telling you, it's a real thing.
I love it.
And so they've like prepared, they've tuned their bodies to go through and be prepared for this moment. You think of the Olympic athletes. And how they go, look, I have a year that I have to go through to get my body to be ready for the Olympics. And so all of a sudden these athletes and the tremendous, like, I mean, it's a grind. It's a brutal process that they put themselves through so that they can peak at that perfect time of the Olympics and they can give their very best performance. And it's just not something you just roll out of bed and go, okay, we're here, we're going to play. And it'll be a challenge for all of those schools that have to do that, that go into the spring. But I agree with Zane. I would much rather say, let's go, let's play right now. We're ready to do it. And our bodies are tuned. And I would hate to be sitting on the sidelines right now. And I'm telling you, these schools in the Pac-12 and Big Ten, are they going to be dying this fall? They are going to hate this in the worst way possible. But they got to watch.
We're going to take a break here. We'll come back. We got more to go. We got our What Are the Odds coming up around the corner. You don't want to miss. Yeah, tons of stuff to talk about, whether it's the NBA bubble, whether it's the college football season, some of the schedulings that are going to still happen possibly for BYU. Stay with us. More to go. It's KSL News Radio's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell will be right back. All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex
Keery.
Welcome
back.
Scott Mitchell. I'm watching high school football up on the screen here, Scott.
You are?
Yes. The Davis Darts and the Harriman Mustangs.
And how are you watching that?
It's on you want me to tell you a TV station, don't you? I'm not going to do it. You know why? Because I want you to pay attention to the show.
Is it on TV?
Because Dave McCann rolled in. He's watching the Cubs possible no-hitter going on the bottom right screen, and I'm trying to watch the Davis Darts figure this thing out. We've got also Channel 14, Scott. Not that there's any other station that exists in this market except for Channel 5. I'm just saying Channel 14 is where you can find that local high school football. The very first high school game in the country being played right now in Harriman, Utah. Sam Farnsworth is going to join us in just a few minutes here, and I want to know about the vibe there because I want to know how people are watching it. The schools had some protocols in place, and I think we're just as fascinated by how they're going to be watching or playing football as we watch these guys play it. I want to know how the spectators, what parents, I think that students aren't invited to the game, and so it's a very interesting prospect. But in the meantime, I've got a lot of things going on here as we get this next segment kicked off here. It's all about college. It's all about college football. It's all about how we're going to crown a national champion.
College football chaos on KSL's Unrivaled.
All right, so college football did it. College did it. The NCAA, of course, made the decision today. They're not going to be doing any they're not going to be doing any of the fall championships. Now, that doesn't matter, Scott, for football, because college football has not had a NCAA-sanctioned national champion at the highest level for a long, long time. We just crowned a national champion with either an FBS or a bowl championship series, which has been previous to that. We've had voting, and now we are in the college football playoff era. And so as the College Football Playoff Committee is planning, they tweeted out today, no changes. We're still going forward. College Football Playoff will still happen. Here's what they announced, and I'm not sure how it's going to happen. The College Football Playoff Selection Committee met virtually this week. Thank you for your responsibility in preparation for the upcoming season. We don't know right now what the season will bring as a committee, but as a committee, we're ready to use the protocol and the expertise of the 13 people who've been charged with selecting the teams, said Gary Barta, athletics director at the University of Iowa, who's beginning his first year as the committee chair. He's also the athletic director of a team that is not playing football this fall, Scott. So how on earth, what are the scenarios as to tell me what you think would be the best way to figure out a national championship in 2020-2021, because
there's no way
they put it. They said
there's no
they
way
prepare
they can
for the
do,
2021
there's
season.
There's no way they can do this.
How do they do it?
They can't do it.
So
they simply can't do it.
We can't
and
have
if,
a half champion
it,
or like if a, they, if a fall they, champion and a spring champion. I got it. There
no,
you go.
If they do it, then you know that college football is the biggest scam in the whole entire world. That it's run by the SEC. And I always thought it was the Big Ten.
You wouldn't honor an SEC if the ACC had Clemson versus Alabama in the national championship game again. You wouldn't say, "Oh yeah, I think that they should be the champions." You wouldn't think that that Alabama would be the best team in college football.
I don't, but I do. I do see a solution. I think it would be kind of a fun solution, and maybe it's a solution that I don't know. We look at in the future. So maybe you do it on a rotating basis, and you have half the conferences play in the fall, half of the conferences play in the spring, and that way you have football year round. And then they have a fall champion, a spring champion, and they play at the end of the year, the end of the second half of the season. I know they're all going to go, yeah, but the spring will have an advantage because they will have had an opportunity to be playing, and the other team will be off. But oh well, that's I don't care. That's what I'm going to say. Actually, I don't like that idea. I think it's kind of a stupid idea. I think this whole thing is really stupid. And I think this year,
you just have to go.
There's no champion. No one really cares. I don't think people really care about the college football championship. I really don't. I think they would care if the playoffs were expanded, and you had a true playoff system.
We like the games that are played leading up to it. We like even the national championship game itself. But imagine how many times, and this happens for me who watches college football, at an insane rate, and this is what we do for our jobs. And then periodically you'll go, who won the national championship last year? Because you don't because it's not the team. These aren't teams that you care about. You're like, I can't remember if it was Clemson or Alabama or Auburn or those things happen multiple times in my life where I go, who won the college football playoff this last year? And so we care about the games though, and certainly
no, it's fun to watch the games. Yeah, no.
So faking some sort of
you don't sit there and go, wow, this is the national champ. This is
right.
You just go, this is a great college football game, and it's more like a bowl game. And that's you look at like Alabama. You go, Alabama's just this dominant team, blah blah blah. And then all of a sudden they play Clemson, and they get beat. And
like
then
beat
and then
be bad, yeah.
Like I would say, in the last few years, the team that really felt like they won a national championship is LSU. Like to me, they felt like they did everything you could do. They had a tough schedule. They had to play a lot of big games. They had to play a lot of in-season big games.
Oh yeah, they won
the
national championship, didn't they?
They did. And then they played a tough game in the SEC championship, and then they played Clemson. And you go, you know what? That feels like a real champion or closer to a real champion. And that you want a process that vets people out. Cuz you don't really know how good Alabama is from year to year. You kind of speculate. You go, yeah, these guys get the blue chip athletes, and the SEC sends more players to the pros, but a lot of guys are a lot better in college. You know, some guys are really good college players and don't necessarily make better pros, but that doesn't mean that they have just better football across the board just cuz they have these good athletes. A lot of times these teams are poorly coached.
You know what this could be, Scott?
They just beat people because they got better athletes. They don't beat them because they're coached better. And you take Utah winning the Sugar Bowl against Alabama. I mean, Utah dominated Alabama. And I don't care if Alabama said, "Oh, we didn't really want to be here." Well, you know what? You show up with your better athletes.
And Oklahoma
didn't want to play
Boise State and right. So on and so forth.
Yeah,
yes.
And so having a vetting process, Alex, where you really can find a champion, that's what people want to see. And I don't understand why people are so afraid of this.
Let me paint this picture, albeit as insane as it might sound. You ready for this?
Sure.
5-0 BYU goes into the college football playoff committee, and after a dominant win over the final team on their schedule, North Alabama, the Cougs can sit there and make an argument that as the only still undefeated team in all of college football. I can't even say it without laughing, but all I'm doing is using all the stupid logic that we use every year, right, where we go, well, they are undefeated. Well, they are. Well, you know who they were playing, though, right? Well, look at their cupcake schedule. Well, look at this. And we go, I mean, the reality is there could be a moment where at least we will – hilariously joke about why isn't BYU in this college football playoff conversation. So I'm just putting it out there.
Are they going to have the playoffs?
Well, they just
said
this. Are
they going to have bowls?
We don't know what's going to happen.
How all these affiliations with these conferences,
I know, for
what
sure.
Do you do?
They just said, we're ready to use the protocol and expertise of the 13 people who've been charged with selecting the teams. Scott, they're making it sound like they're going to select some teams. You know what that
means?
They're talking about
selecting, can they rethink their thought process?
Well, here's the thing. Why not couldn't they be selected for a January college football playoff? I mean, they've got a bunch of guys on the committee, right?
A USC team
could get into the college
right.
Had
they
playoff.
Been able to play this season, they would have gone undefeated.
I love this thing being a total disaster come January 1. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. Sam Farnsworth is going to join us. I've got a high school score to give you as well. The first one in all of the country being played right now. Harriman and Davis right now in Harriman. Stay with us on KSL News Radio.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's unrivaled Alex Keery. Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. Former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell, former University of Utah, great as well. As we're watching right now, the Davis Darts are marching. They're tied with the Harriman Mustangs in Harriman for the very first a high school football game in the entire United States of America this year. CNN, Scott, just popped up this game, a live look-in on CNN of this game that's being played here in the state of Utah. 7-7. We don't ever really report on high school games like a, you know, we don't do score updates really. But my Darts tied currently with the Harriman Mustangs. That's a big game. Those are two big programs, and they're playing the football game. That's the whole point, is that they are playing the game. Joining us right now on KSL's is KSL 5's Sam Farnsworth from the stadium there at Harriman. So I want to know what the setup is like there. How is it that they invited people to come into into the game? You just heard Touchdown Davis, so you just heard the darts go up. But, Sam, how is it that they managed to – are they managing the crowd? What are the protocols?
Yeah, the update on the touchdown first. Chance Trujillo throwing his second touchdown pass of the game for Davis. So they now have a one-touchdown lead, PAT pending. As far as the protocol goes, this is a stadium that normally holds about 4,000, is what they say.
Big by Utah standards. Big by Utah standards for sure, yeah.
Yeah, certainly. I would imagine that they rarely have a night where they actually get 4,000 in here. I mean, maybe, for some of their big games, but... But, 4,000 is what it normally holds. Tonight, they limited the attendance to 900, which is they sold out those 900 tickets pretty quickly. So they limited to 700 for the home team, 200 for the visiting team. And those fans, those spectators, are socially distanced to designated seating areas within the bleachers. And then beyond that, I was told that the rosters of the football teams, specifically the home team where you'll dress a lot of the JV and even some of the, the C-squad kids, none of them are dressing. It's just limited to the varsity squads dressed for the game. The cheerleaders are limited as well, and there are no marching bands. So that's kind of the protocol they've gone with. So far it seems to be a success. It still seems like there's some good energy in the crowd. They're still able to get a fair amount of students in the stands, and they're designated sections, and it's off to a good start. And as you can hear, Harriman might have one of the most enthusiastic PA announcers.
I was going to say, the PA guy, not worried about respiratory droplets there the booth.
what I'm curious about, Sam, is does it appear that these unusual circumstances have any impact on the game? Do these teams seem like they're into the game? It's still good quality football, or does it seem to have a negative impact on the actual game on the field?
No, 100% so far. It seems like a high-quality high school football game. It's definitely what we would expect from two top 15 teams in the state from the new KSLSports.com poll. These two teams are both playing good, hard football. It's been a great first quarter, good offense from both sides, solid defense as well. The only thing that I noticed that's different about the teams has nothing to do with the game. It's just how they've spaced them out on the sidelines. Normally a team is confined to the box between the 30s. Well, they've got them spaced out between the 10s.
Oh, interesting.
So that they can spread the team out a little bit more. Other than that, I mean, the product on the field is still a good quality product, which makes me really excited for what we've got coming our way tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's what I was just watching this too. And the touchdown that was just thrown from on Davis's side, a little fade route to the corner of the end zone, and it was like a perfect throw,
perfect get 2 feet in. It was a nice little play. But again, like you said, I mean, Harriman takes this thing seriously. Davis is a program that always takes this thing seriously. These are the two of the largest high schools in the entire state of Utah. And we were just talking about when you came in, CNN flashed up a live look into this game. The nation sees this being played, and I'm certain they're wondering, why is it that their state maybe can't figure out what Utah's figured out? What have we figured out?
I think I don't know if we've figured anything out quite yet. Hopefully, you know, as the weeks go on and if the season continues with more success, with low to no positive COVID tests, you know, on teams, if we continue to have a successful output, then I think we will have figured out that obviously it would be a kind of a hindsight 2020 situation, but we would have figured out that obviously now is better than later, or now is just as good as later. That's kind of been my thought the whole time. You know, you can defer to spring. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be any better than what we've got going on now. Why not? You know, the state of Utah's COVID numbers on an overall scale are trending downwards for the most part. We're in a situation where we're in a fairly safe level, you know, according to the state standards. So why not play football now? And I really do hope, not to, like, stick it to our neighbor states or anything, but I really do hope it's a successful thing to show that you know, Colorado and Nevada and California, that, you know what, it can be done. It can be done successfully if the right protocol is taken. And so that's what I'm hoping happens here in Utah. I hope that we are a model of what could be in the future, even if these teams defer to next year.
You know, there's I've talked to a lot of people who have been impacted by this whole decision to, you know, cancel college football here in part of the state of Utah. And those people are significantly impacted by it emotionally and financially. Do you get a sense that people are out here and they're like, finally, you know, we're happy to get out on the field and have something that seems somewhat, you know, normal?
Yeah, I do get that sense. I don't want to use the word overwhelming, but it's been strong. The sense I've gotten from the fans that I've heard talking to each other in the stands, the fans talking as they're walking in, the coaches, players, spectators, the media that are here covering this event, every person seems to be having the same narrative in their conversation, which is, it feels so good to be at a sporting event, you know, a live sporting event, even if it's high school. We are at a football stadium, we're outside, and it does kind of take away from the stress, I think, and put in the background all of the trauma and drama that has come with this pandemic over this year. You know, obviously it's nothing to joke about, it's nothing to take lightly. I don't think playing high school football this year is taking the pandemic lightly at all, but I think it's just saying, you know what, we still have to live, we still have to make choices, and we are choosing to pursue this, and we feel that we're safe in doing so, and that's kind of the feeling that I'm getting from UHSAA as they kick off the football season this weekend.
Sam Farnsworth, KSL5 Television. Of course, Sam, the big one that we saw today as well, as you're reporting there live from Harriman, as Harriman and Davis take each other on in the first high school football game in the country this year. So a lot of attention in that sense. But the Jazz, of course, are setting the playoffs. Thoughts before you get out on the Utah Jazz, which I know we'll be seeing some of the highlights tonight on KSL5 Television.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited for that matchup. Jazz and Nuggets, I felt early on when they returned to the bubble that would probably be the best pairing for them. And obviously the Jazz and Nuggets, it's kind of funny because the Nuggets feel like the Jazz are the best matchup for them too. So they were sort of jockeying intentionally to grab that number three spot as well. So these are two teams that want to face each other in the playoffs. They both feel like it's their best matchup for a first-round opponent in the playoffs. So it's going to be really fun to watch. I still think it's going to be a highly entertaining playoff for the Jazz. I'm excited for it, and I'm excited that it's not the Rockets once again either. So I just can't wait. Can't wait for playoff basketball.
All right, Sam, we appreciate it. We're taking the break here. We're going to come back with our MVPs next segment. Scott Mitchell and I rolling out the winners of the day for us. Live high school football being played, a no-hitter. That was just broken up by the Milwaukee Brewers. Dave McCann crushed out in the newsroom.
And, of course, the NBA playoff bubble. So we've got live things that we're talking about here. It's exciting times. We've got more to go. Stay with us right here on KSL News Radio. It is KSL's Unrivaled.
All right, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. I'm Scott Mitchell in the Draper Annex of KSL. What is it? The sports department right now, KSLsports.com, KSL's Unrivaled. He's Alex Carey. We've got you covered here in the Salt Lake Valley. You know, the one thing I get from being here, Alex, because I miss being in the booth with you. I really
yes,
did.
In the actual studio. Yeah. And look, I got the four TVs in front of me. I'm watching.
Yeah, but
all
see, I'm getting these sunsets, and they're getting pretty spectacular
beautiful.
Right now.
Beautiful, Scott.
Yeah. Times are changing. It's getting closer to fall, and the sun is going down sooner and sooner every single day.
I'm excited about this next portion of the show here. You should have seen how excited I told Dave.
You were
McCann,
really excited about this.
Well, I told you Dave McCann when he walked in. He's like, you know, the Cubs have a no-hitter going on. I said, why would you say something like that? You're a baseball guy. You don't just waltz in here and start talking about no-hitters. You're going to break up a no-hitter by talking about it. Am I wrong? Give it five more minutes, yeah, and guess what happened?
There's a certain protocol.
Yes, and yeah. 5 minutes later, guess what? The Brewers broke up the no-no. I mean, it was like five pitches later. And so, I try to honor those superstitions that you and your people, the baseball people, Scott, have established, long established traditions of the people. So, Harriman and Davis, 14-7, the Davis Darts leading the Harriman Mustangs there in Harriman. So, and now I'm a Davis Dart, Scott. So, you know, all bets are off. I'm going to wave the, hold on, I'm looking at brown and yellow. I'm going to wave the
you know
brown
how that
and
happened,
yellow flag
you?
With do, pride.
You
know is that what's going on here?
Do you know how brown and yellow happened?
It's like the worst story.
But no, what it's not. It? No, it's. It, do you know the story?
Yes, it's something along the lines of they looked up into the sky and they said,
no,
"What
they
would
didn't
be
look
the,
up in the sky?
What would be
they
the worst? What would be
the
worst colors
on the mountains in the fall when all the colors are changing?" As you mentioned on our show the other night,
I love
night,
the fall colors.
Boy, there's nothing more beautiful than those fall colors on the mountain.
Yeah, but I'm
they
talking about
those same. They looked at those same colors. Now maybe they were colorblind. I don't know.
No,
but they said the brown and yellow. That's what the mountains look like in the fall. And so that's. I don't know what a dart is. You can, for the life of me, I don't know what a dart
is. It's like a fast.
Is it like a dart? Like an
I think
actual
it's a
dart?
Fast pioneer. Is that? Oh. It's like the ones who really got across the plains quick. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So, but the brown and, but here's the thing. When you are appreciating the fall colors and the fall foliage, you don't go, man, that brown is just so brown.
It really gets you. It really just kind of tugs at your heartstrings, and you just go.
Brown is when you go,
I'm a different person.
Shoot, honey, we shouldn't have gone to Mexico that early. We missed that fall foliage. We came back from our trip, and everything's brown again. And the sun's out, so I guess that's kind of nice. So it's just brown and yellow everywhere.
Yes, it is.
There you go. Well, Davis Darts.
I don't care about Davis.
I'm just saying I don't want to besmirch their name, but, you know, what's going on? Give us an idea. Scott, it's that time of the night for our Unrivaled MVPs. Let's do it.
The Unrivaled MVP. Scott and Alex crowned tonight's most valuable player.
According to Alex.
Uh-huh.
According to Scott. Most valuable player.
Would you like me to go first, Alex?
Yes, go ahead, Scott.
Okay, well, first of all, I have to give kind of a, I don't know how to, this would be an MVP, but it's to all left-handers in the entire world, which I'm one of. I'm big, as left-handed as they come. Today is National Left-Hander Day.
Oh, it's look at
official,
you.
It's the official day of left-handed people in the world. And there's some very, very interesting facts about left-handers that maybe you don't realize. Roughly about 10% of the population is left-handed.
Yes.
However, left-handed people are more likely, statistically, to actually be crazy in the form of schizophrenia and all different kinds of. It's a proven fact.
That's an interesting deal.
So if you're left-handed, you're probably going to be crazy.
So I have
which I would say about myself.
I'll just tell this to the people listening too. Scott's not just like left-handed, like he walks left-handed. It's like there's a look you can see when people describe Scott as like, he was that southpaw, he was that left-handed. Scott has that very typical like when he's writing stuff down on paper, you're like, oh boy, he's dragging his whole hand through.
Yeah, he's got that really funky.
He's got his fork, and it's like wrist, way left hand, way on top of it. And I'm like, whoa. Yes. See, now I'm a part time left hander, so I have love for people like yourself.
Yes.
I throw left handed. It's the only thing that I do left handed. Everything else in my life, I throw. Oh no, I shoot left eyed. Is that a thing too? Left eye Lopez, may she rest.
Yep.
So I shoot lefty, and I throw lefty. So everything I do otherwise is right-handed, right-handed, bat.
Four
golf,
of the last
everything.
Seven presidents have been left-handed.
Oh, look at you.
Which tells you where our country's going, to the left. And we have there's research that says you're either going to be about 15% more successful in your career, and there's some research that says it's about 10% less. But basically, attorneys and architects are left-handed. A considerably larger number are actually left-handed. And the other side is orthopedic surgeons, mathematicians, and librarians. So congratulations to all my left-handed people. That wasn't my MVP, though.
Well, I was going to say, I was like, that's your MVP. Huh?
No, that's just kind of my shout-out. Right, my MVP, cool.
Oh, let's hear it.
Is Zach Greinke.
Is he lefty?
He's a righty. I was really hoping that he would be a righty, but he's not.
Yeah.
He's a lefty, and he actually was calling. So he pitches for the Astros, right? So they're playing the Giants, and he is actually calling out the signs to Mauricio Dubin. Okay?
This is going great so far, yeah.
He's visually telling him what the signs are.
Oh, so this isn't like you know,
he's
when they
standing
do the
on the mound pitching.
Okay.
He goes, "I'm going to throw you a slider," and he throws him a slider.
Was he frustrated with the catcher?
No,
was he just
no.
Was
he
this
was
just a big flex
it,
of
it, what it was
I don't
saying
care.
Is I'm sick and tired of all of this like okay stealing sign
right,
stuff and
sure.
all this stuff. You want to know the signs? Here they are. I'm going to give them to you right now, and I don't care because I'm going to strike you out anyways. And so I don't really care for the Houston Astros, but this was pretty cool. And he holds up two fingers. He goes, here you go. Two fingers off speed. Here it comes. And he still struck the guy out. So he's my MVP. I never thought I would have a Houston Astro in the near future be an MVP, but Zach Greinke is my MVP.
Right. I love it. Look, if you're that good, and Zach Greinke is, if you're that good and can just go, you know what, don't care. I'm just going to roll up here and do this. And I'm just going to tell you what the pitch is, and I'm still going to strike you out.
Try to hit it.
It's that's because we used to do that when we were playing teams sometimes, and you'd call out offensive line things. I used to say, the play's going to come right here. If I knew that like we were owning these guys, I'd go, we're running right here in this gap. And so I'm just telling you right now, let's see how you do. But you could only do that if you were very, very confident in your ability
to try to stop it. I don't care.
Scott, my MVP of the night goes to the team down south. No, the Phoenix Suns, not BYU.
Okay. So they're way south. The Suns
are way further south. The Phoenix Suns, who went an impossible 8-0. In the NBA bubble today after their final win. They went 8-0 in the bubble. They had a less than 3% chance from the BPI to win every game. All right? No, sorry. Less than a third of 1% chance of winning every game. They go into the bubble. If Portland loses tonight, which they're not right now, but if they do end up losing tonight, they can play from the bubble. Or they can continue into the playoffs in the play-in game. But I just want to say the Suns showed up. And they're the only team that we know showed up and wanted to win every game, and they did it. They went 8-0 in the bubble. So if you're a Phoenix Suns fan and if you're a basketball fan, you should feel excited because the Suns actually won every game in the bubble. So.
And they're a scary team. I don't think anyone wants to play them right
now. No, now, right now, for sure. Yeah. And so you're kind of going, boy, I hope Portland wins and we just don't have to see the Suns anymore. And that's the unfortunate thing is they actually will probably get eliminated tonight and we won't see any more from them in the bubble. But I thought it was pretty cool. They went and showed up and said, let's just win every game. And they did it. So congrats to our old jazz man, Ricky Rubio. We're taking the break here. We'll come back. We got more to go. Second hour of the program. Davis takes a commanding 21-7 lead over Harriman in the first high school football game in the entire country. We'll stay right here with you after news, traffic, and weather on KSL News Radio.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Okay, welcome back. It's KSL's unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us on a Thursday. Thanks for hanging out with us on the program. If you ever want to download the show, if you want to get the old podcast going, download the podcast anywhere podcasts are found, or go to KSLSports.com. You can click on the podcast button and find Scott and my ugly mugs right there. I'll speak for myself. I'll say my ugly mug and then Scott's.
Well, and then what I say after that is what? You don't have an ugly mug, Alex.
No. Listen, I know where I'm at, all right? And so here's what that is. I have a serviceable face. You know what I mean? My face is like a middle reliever. All right, it gets the job done.
But you're long on personality.
Long on personality. That's really good. That's the way you want to be known throughout
Serviceable
history.
Serviceable face, shorter on the hair, long on the personality.
Scott, I've got this little thing I want to bring up right here, and that is the ever-changing world of college football is it's a world that keeps on turning. We got some news today.
College football chaos on KSL's Unrivaled.
Jealous much, Scott Mitchell?
I am green with envy.
The Cougs have signed up another game on their schedule. Now up to four. What's wild is seeing headlines. And the headline's like, BYU now bolsters their schedule to four games by signing up the Troy Trojans in a home-and-home series. That's my favorite part, too, when they do the whole home-and-home thing.
Right.
So BYU and Troy have agreed to a home game September 26th. Does that date sound familiar to you, Scott? September 26th?
It sounded like the old start of the Pac-12
season.
That's
right. Yes. That would have been when you'd have been up in Pullman. Instead, the Cougs are going to be kicking off their home schedule. Well, maybe they scheduled somebody before then. But let me just show you why I don't think that'll happen. I think they're doing this with some design. And you tell me if I'm wrong, Scott. You have the Navy game on September 7th. And then you have 2 weeks. I guess it's almost 3 weeks until that home game against Troy.
I don't think there's any strategy in it, Alex.
You think it was just whatever they got?
You're overthinking this one.
Get what you get?
Yeah, it's just like, we'll take
it. So
Troy is like the Colorado School of Mines.
Oh,
it's like you don't even know they have a football program.
Listen, they have won the Sun Belt 6 of the last 14 years, my friend.
I will just tell you that right now I take Troy. I take 8 games of Troy.
Right. It took eight Troys
games of Troy.
And one BYU. Okay, so
I'd come there for 5 of the 8.
So Troy and BYU. Now, when we get to our what are the odds a little bit later, I'll ask you what are the odds that game actually gets played. But because there's, you know, I walked out of here last night out of KSL Broadcast House, and I got one of those why the long face, you know, kind of responses from Dave McCann. And the reality was that all the stuff we're talking about, it still doesn't feel like we're 100% going to have even the games that are on the schedule. And while BYU might be even in the works to try to schedule more games, and they're now at 5 or 4 games, I look at it and I go, okay, but how many of these are actually going to happen? That being said, scheduling a Sun Belt opponent, and Troy is, you know, high-powered offense. This is like what they're known for is they show up. They surprise a lot of people. They kind of have that Appalachian State sort of quality to them where it's like, yeah, we were like former national champions in Division II a bunch of times. And since we've been to the FBS, we've already gotten to a bunch of bowl games. And we quietly beat all the smaller teams pretty easily. And then every once in a while, we sneak a game in. This isn't a guaranteed win for BYU at all. I think it'll be
– Please. Please,
Scott, listen to me.
Please stop.
This is just
please
like this
stop
is
patronizing me.
Listen
oh
to
my
me.
Goodness.
Listen to me.
This is not a guaranteed win. Oh,
Scott, I was supposed to. I'm trying to get into like midseason form here. Will you stop embarrassing me in front of the people? This game could be anybody, Scott.
It's their first home.
Do you remember
game
when BYU only beat Liberty by a touchdown?
Those days are in the past, Alex.
That was last year, Scott. Last year. I'm just saying this Troy game is. After you go to Navy and you get maybe a win there at Navy, you come home, you get a W against Troy. Not a bad 2-0 start before you start things back up in October.
I think BYU is actually going to have more games even before Troy. I really do. I think they're going to slowly get some. I'll bet they'll have a decent season before everything's over. And it's part of. I don't think people are trying to shut down college football. I really don't. I think there's a concerted effort to say, hey, we're going to try to make this thing work. So why not schedule games? And BYU is a good opponent. They'll have those opportunities. I mean this sincerely. I actually think this will be.
Here comes the patronizing.
No,
part.
This is not. Okay. I think this will be the best team Kalani's had since he's been
the Cougs. Yes. You're talking about. Mm-hmm. Boy, that's a tough thing to do to have one of your best teams.
I know.
And to maybe play five or six games, maybe four, five, six.
I think
games.
They'll get more than that, Alex. I really do.
So one of the things that was interesting that was talked about in practice this week was, and our own Matt Biamonte asked Zane Anderson this question about this, you know, about scheduling and things like that, about the fall versus the spring. And you and I were kind of discussing it during show prep today about, like, so what's going to happen? Can a spring really happen? And Matt actually asked an interesting question to one of BYU's defensive captain, Zane Anderson. Take a listen to the question.
Zane, obviously things change by the minute, so who knows what it's going to be like in the next couple of days. But would you rather personally play as many games as you can in the fall or potentially more games if it was postponed to the spring?
Okay, Scott, I'm going to pause it there. Before we get Zane's answer, I want to hear your answer.
Well, my answer is you're not going to get more games in the spring.
Oh, okay.
There's no the
so
only...
your answer is C. Would you rather do A or B? Scott goes, I'm going to go with C.
I'm going to go with C.
Okay.
Well, no. So the question is, no. If I was Zane Anderson, I'd rather be right where BYU is right
okay.
now.
Okay. All right.
If I'm the University of Utah, I'd rather play in the spring. Actually.
Right, because that's your only option right now.
No. If they had the option, I think it's better for Utah in the spring. But this
then
is
a, right
this
now, is, you mean?
Absolutely.
Okay. You mean with the Pac-12 canceled?
No. Look, Utah's a really young team.
Oh, so it might be better to actually get them developed.
Oh,
okay.
Completely.
All right,
yes.
I get it. Yeah. All right, so let's listen to what Zane Anderson had to say about it.
That's a tricky question. I think I've prepared so far this whole year, and I think a lot of guys, of our guys have prepared to play right now, and play, our bodies are kind of in tune for that. And so it'd be kind of weird playing in spring, but at the end of the day, I just want to play. You know, I've come back. This is my sixth year coming back, and like I tune in my body. I've worked so hard, and so I just want to play. And whether that's now or in spring, like I want to have a season and show what I can do. And I know that's how my teammates feel as well.
That's a real thing, Alex. By the way,
it's like, look, I mean, he's kind of the Britton Covey of BYU's team, right? Where he's injuries and he's been here a long time. He's had a massive amount of potential. He's even like an NFL caliber guy in terms of his speed and his strength and how big he is, and he just hasn't been able to dial in. And then you go, imagine getting your body into that shape, and then having to put it on pause right now.
Yeah, that would be hard, but. Aside from that, I'm just telling you, it's a weird thing. Your body gets it when you play so long. Your body gets used to, okay, it's the training camp mode. Even the off season, it's like your off season preparation time, and your body is used to that. And your body goes through these cycles, and it's almost like the moon. And it's a real thing, and so it's actually odd. And it's odd, and I'm speaking from experience.
Scott, moon cycles?
Yes.
Come on.
No, I'm telling you, it's a real thing.
I love
it. And so they've like prepared, they've tuned their bodies to go through and be prepared for this moment. You think of the Olympic athletes and how they go, look, I have a year that I have to go through to get my body to be ready for the Olympics. And so all of a sudden these athletes and the tremendous, like, I mean, it's a grind. It's a brutal process that they put themselves through so that they can peak at that perfect time of the Olympics and they can give their very best performance. And it's just not something you just roll out of bed and go, okay, we're here, we're going to play. And it'll be a challenge for all of those schools that have to do that go into the spring. But I agree with Zane. I would much rather say, let's go, let's play right now. We're ready to do it. And our bodies are tuned, and I would hate to be sitting on the sidelines right now. And I'm telling you, these schools in the Pac-12 and Big Ten, are they going to be dying this fall? They are going to hate this in the worst way possible. But they got to watch.
We're going to take a break here. We'll come back. We got more to go. We got our What Are the Odds coming up around the corner. You don't want to miss. Yeah, tons of stuff to talk about, whether it's the NBA bubble, whether it's the college football season, some of the schedulings that are going to still happen possibly for BYU. Stay with us. More to go. It's KSL News Radio's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell will be right back.
All right, welcome back on in to KSL's Unrivaled. This is Scott Mitchell on the old microphone, and down the other end of the valley is Mr. Alex Keery, who's kind of got an okay face. He's got shorter hair, but man, does the man have a personality.
I thought that you were doing the shaved head thing, and now I'm beating you again. I'm back to beating you again. It doesn't take much, but I listen.
You mean you're beating me in the shortness?
Yeah, the short hair department.
Right.
I thought if you're going to shave your head, you better let's go for it. Come on now.
Apparently, I'm not going to say anything.
Okay, that's good for you.
I'll just leave it as it is.
Leave it as it is and just know that you could have made a better effort at shaving the old
head.
I'm
going back to Michigan to see my sister, and she can give me the thumbs up or thumbs down, and who knows, I may get back on the shaved head. Yeah. But.
You may have to readjust. Just tell them what my thoughts are. My co-host on the show says I'm not making enough effort because he's bald.
Hang on just a second. Let me take notes of this.
Okay. he's like, sorry, a guy. I can't remember his name, but he told me that my buzzed head was not buzzed enough. So, Scott, it's that time of the week, of course, where we get to our What Are the Odds? We play a little game here. We throw a percentage out of exactly how much of a percent of chance we think something will or will not happen.
What are the odds? You'll know exactly, more or less, what's going to happen. Probably. What are the odds?
Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll throw the number out. We like to associate, the new game is to associate a jersey number with the person's, what are the odds that this thing is going to happen or not happen here, so. I'll start out. Both Scott and I have scenarios to give one another. We have not previously shared these scenarios with one another. Am I right?
That is correct.
So
they've
these
been
are
safely kept away.
These are on the fly. Little guesses as to how the world's going. Zion Williamson, of course, not in the bubble anymore. The team, of course, said he's so the Pelicans are not. They're not in the hunt, and so they decided Zion Williamson needs to go home, and we want to rest this guy. Zion Williamson says he needs to, quote, get his body where it needs to be, which is, I assume, he means into a Waffle House. So he says
– I don't think Zion left the Waffle House while he was pre-bubble.
He said, I can only say that is you and I have visited Waffle House together. So I don't – we have not – we can say that because Waffle House is a place that is special to us. And look, I just want to say this. This is a guy who you've said from the beginning, he is too chunky to play basketball at this level. What are the odds Zion Williamson, by the next NBA season, quote, gets his body where it needs to be?
Well, that's going to be hard. It's going to be hard because the basketball season is probably going to start in December. You know, it's gonna be a Christmas start.
You're gonna have Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
There's gonna be Thanksgiving.
You're gonna have Thanksgiving.
There with the,
you're gonna have
the
Christmas.
Gravy.
You're gonna have yes, and that's just gonna be a challenge. And I'm gonna go back to this whole, you know, this your body is kind of a, you know, it's used to certain times of the year, and it'll be a challenge for him. It's probably gonna be a challenge for him his whole entire career. So the odds of him coming back in good shape?
Yes. Well, the odds of him like coming back and us being like, ooh, man, he looks like he is really, really good in good shape here.
I'm going to give it the old Walter Payton 34%.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Now, do these have to be football players? That's my question.
They just have the best jersey numbers.
They typically do.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with
– NBA players by their names,
I know.
Not their numbers.
Well, but the numbers are also ones that just – I'm going to go with the old Steve Atwater, number 27.
Wow,
so,
okay.
Yeah. And I'm not even a Bronco guy. But like Vlad Guerrero, if you're going to go baseball, That's
See, I wouldn't even know what his number is.
27, man. So somebody goes, but you knew Steve Atwater. As soon as I say Steve Atwater,
right, of course
that guy, you probably got picked off by Steve Atwater at some point. All right.
All right. I'm going to go, I'm sticking in the vein of the NBA.
Yes.
What are the odds that the Utah Jazz get into the second round of the NBA bubble playoffs?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to go full Rick Meyer. Which of course is just 3%.
Wow.
I don't want to go full.
It's like Babe Ruth.
Wait, wasn't Rick Meyer 3? Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. I'm going to go maybe a little bit more positive on these things. I'm going to go Drew Brees number 9. 9% chance that the Jazz go to the next round of the playoffs. And that's not a diss on anybody except for more just a I think that the Nuggets are I mean, the Jazz haven't beat the Nuggets all year. They're 0-3 or 0-4 against the Nuggets this season. They haven't beat him this year yet. Luka Doncic is I think he's smarter than everybody on the floor. And I know that the Jazz are going to have their guys all rested, but I think that also means they haven't been playing enough good winning basketball. So I'm going to go 9%. Drew Brees, there you go.
All right, I'm going to go, and I'm just going to bring this up because I'm going to go Don Nelson. Boston Celtics, 19%.
Wow. That's the 19 you bring up, huh?
Yes,
Very proud of you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Very nice of you. The old Don Nelson, number 19.
Yes, yes.
You couldn't even go like Johnny Unitas?
Well, I was going to do both of them together, but I'll save Johnny Unitas for another day.
We had, Brandon, one of our listeners, tweeted at me, and he bought on eBay a Scott Mitchell football card. And it's got like your stats. I think it was from 94, 95. Anyway, it has your quarterback rating on there. It has how many yards you threw for. I think it was 3,200 yards. It was 22 touchdowns. Quarterback rating like 71.5. Not a bad season for the, as they put it, lanky 6'6" quarterback who can run, who can throw the deep ball, or put some deft touch on a pass. I thought that was very well written. So there you go.
Deaf
to touch.
Yes. Yeah.
Now he's just deaf. I have to yell at him over the old headset here. Scott, what are the odds that BYU and Troy play that football game September 26th at LaBelle Edwards Stadium?
I think it's fairly high just because it's still going to be early on in the season. If BYU doesn't get any more games scheduled between Navy and there, then they'll have plenty of time if they have any outbreaks. So I'm going to say that it's relatively high. And I'm going to say, let's go Ray Nitschke, 66%.
That's pretty good.
Yes.
That's pretty good. I went full on, and I went with a the tough thing about this number is the poor guys who wear this number typically are guys that you don't hear much from. But I'm going to go with, are you ready for this? I'm going to go with Gene Upshaw, 63.
Oh.
The old 63.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Gene, listen, 63%. And that's high. That's my optimistic number too, by the way.
Wow.
I don't know where the Cougs, 63% chance of that game happening. There is so much going on between now and just the Navy game. And then between that game and the Navy game is going to be a three-week split. If they add another game in there, another chance for that thing to get shut down. But Gene Upshaw, number 63,
right,
is what I'm going to go with.
Okay,
yes.
This is the one that I've been waiting for. This is going to be a good one. You're going to have to think about this one.
Okay.
All right, what are the odds that Taysom Hill has more throwing touchdowns this season than catching and rushing combined? And rushing would include punt return.
So he doesn't have any touchdown throws in his career still.
So, right.
I don't think he has even one. I think he has one pick and he's zero touchdowns.
What
are the odds that he throws more touchdowns than he throws and catches combined?
Oh, yes.
Might have to go with his own number of number 7.
Oh, you think it's that low?
Because listen, the way they're going to be using him is not throwing the football, I don't think. I think they're still going to be using him as that tight end slot kind of dude. I mean, he caught like, I don't know how many cut. I think he caught 7 touchdowns last year, 7 or 8 touchdowns last year. But the percent chance that he throws more touchdowns than he runs or catches this next year, I'm going to go with his own number. I'm going to use his own number against him and go with 7% chance.
Yeah, but what if Drew Brees gets injured?
No.
See, that's more of what I was thinking about this. I'm going to give it the old Peyton Manning 18%.
18%. Yeah. All right. Okay. All right, we're taking the break here. We've got more to go here. I might even have a straggler of a what are the odds here around the corner. So
yeah,
stay with us.
I got a few too.
You do too? All right. Well, stay with us. We might have to continue this plus much more right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Stay with us on KSL News Radio.
KSL's Unrivaled. The teams you live for. The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, a couple more segments left here on KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. As we go along here, we had a couple of cleanup. What are the odds? Which is, of course, our last segment we did. We did our what are the odds going in here, and so we bring out scenarios, and then you have to give a percentage chance that something will or will not happen. So, Scott, did you have a couple of other ones you wanted to bring up here before we move on to our NCAA tournament news? We're talking about basketball now, but I've got some news on that front. So give me your thoughts, though, before we move on.
I'll give you one more.
Yes. I've got one more.
What are the odds that the Milwaukee Bucks are the bubble NBA champions this year?
Oh,
yeah.
So playoff startup. The playoff startup on Monday and Tuesday.
Right.
We know the Jazz and the Nuggets are set in that first round. I think that there's a fire that the Bucks have, and that even though here's the problem is do you want to put your full effort into a 60 game? I mean, not a 60 game, a partial season. I mean, it was kind of around 60 games or 65 games everybody had played for the regular season. And then take 4.5 months off and then do a bubble situation, a bubble championship. And I don't know. I mean, the Bucks are – I think they look like the best team. I think the Lakers are right there too, but the Lakers haven't looked great in the last few games. I think they might be faking it. I don't know. I'm going to go with – ooh. Let me see here. I'm going to go with a Art Monk 81 percent chance that the Bucks are your NBA bubble champions. I think they're fired up. I think they're really, really fired up. If not, it's going to be the Portland Trail Blazers, a losing record team winning the in the NBA bubble.
I just feel like it's their time, and I think they'll take a bubble championship. I think Giannis wants to have a legacy. I think he wants to be considered one of those great players, and I think they just seem chippy enough that they're ready to make that move. So I'm gonna say it's we'll go.
Well, now you got to think of a jersey number now.
Well, no, I have a jersey number.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if I want to go that high with it.
Oh.
I'll go Johnny Morton, 87%.
Okay. It's a lot. It's a lot. I'm in the 80s too, though, so
yeah.
I had to go full-on NFL wide receiver for that one. It's tough to find, you know.
I don't know why I'm so high on them, but I am.
I seriously think that Giannis headbutting one of the Wizards the other night was like, ooh, that's fire we don't see in the bubble, man. I like it. All right. Scott, very quickly here, Travis Kelce. Tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs. He just got an extension. Everybody, if you're a Chief, everybody gets an extension. You get an extension. You get an extension. Travis Kelce, 4 years, $57 million, or as I like to put it, a tenth of the amount of money that Patrick Mahomes' contract is worth, $500 million, of course, in the offseason. Scott, what are the odds that Patrick Mahomes always pays for dinner with his teammates going forward?
Patrick Mahomes is going to pay for everything for everyone from here until the end of time.
Teammate thing is funny because I think that teammates, and you know this, you've been the high earner in the huddle before. Yeah. I feel like all those guys go, whatever, Mitchell, you just signed a new contract. Why don't you pay for dinner?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll go on this one. I will go I'm trying to think. We don't have 100, do we?
I don't think everybody ever wore 100 now, huh?
Yeah.
Officially, no.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of who's 99.
There's a Warren Sapp, but I've already used that one. Yeah, you can't use the Warren Sapp again.
Is he 99?
He was 99, yes.
Was he really?
May he rest. No, I'm just kidding. He's not dead. No, he was 99. Warren Sapp was 99, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. I was going to go 92, Reggie White, on the percent chance that he pays for dinner all the time.
92?
Yeah.
I think it's.
You think it's even higher, huh?
I think it's higher, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going.
Maybe like
I'm
a Simeon Rice, 97?
No. Listen to you. I'm going to find out who 99 is, and that's who I'm going
with. You can't
with.
Do it. It is.
Aaron Donald, 99.
Oh, Aaron Donald, of course. Yeah, come on. Of course. All right. Scott, let me play something real quickly here. This is the NCAA had a chat with Andy Katz about college basketball, the future of college basketball, where things could go with college basketball. And the headline is, we will deliver a March Madness tournament, a guarantee of a March Madness tournament in 2020 from a couple of people. One was the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee chair, Mitch Barnhart. But the other person that was on the call was the senior vice president of basketball for the NCAA, Dan Gavitt. This is their billion-dollar industry, Scott. And this is what they had to say about it. This is what Dan Gavitt said about their plans of putting together an NCAA tournament for 2021.
And I think it's really important for fans that watch this video and interview and for coaches and administrators to know that there are all sorts of contingencies that are going to be in place. We are going to have a tournament. It's going to be special. We have our preferences about how we'd like to have it be. But if we have to adjust to the virus that we don't control, we will adjust accordingly. And the health and safety of the players and the coaches and all the people around the games, the referees and fans will be primary. But ultimately, it will also include determining a national champion in the fairest and most equitable way that we can under these unusual circumstances. So I think it's important to note we're going to have all sorts of contingencies and plans if it's necessitated. We're just not in a position to be able to talk about those in the middle of August.
So there you go, Scott, because they're wild. Most of it include, you know how the UFC played on an island, right?
Right.
So those are some of the contingencies that we're talking about. I don't know what the contingencies are. The tough thing is that people want to hear that, though. They want to hear, oh, we're going to have it. But as soon as you start going, by the way, the health and safety of our players and the referees and the coaches, that's paramount.
Yeah.
And then you go, okay, well, I thought you said you were guaranteeing a tournament in 2021 because you can't do that and say that, but then roll out with the health and safety thing. I think saying all the contingencies is fine and not really revealing what those are, but you know, as if it's like, you know, they're holding the Coca-Cola secret recipe or something like that.
Well, obviously they don't want to pin themselves in a corner, but they clearly there's something they know they can do that will ensure that they have the tournament. Now, if it's something similar to like what the NBA is doing and they have it at, you know, they don't have it at all of the different sites around the country and they have it in more of a centralized place, I think that's not the first plan, because maybe they're saying, look, we're gonna figure something out. Let's try to keep it as normal as we possibly can, but in the event that we can't do that, we'll go to some kind. Maybe they're gonna hold it at Walt Disney World. I mean, who knows? And now that seems to be working for the NBA, I think they realized we have to have this no matter what. I don't care what's going on in the world. This is too big of a deal. And of course, last year it was just planned for a certain way, and there's no way you can just say, okay, we're gonna go away for it. It was too short a time to get it done right. But I like the idea that they are absolutely going to have March Madness.
Let's take the break here. We got our final segment coming up. Did you find any other 99, Scott? Who'd you land on again with the 99? Oh, it was Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald.
Yeah, Aaron Donald. There's Sean Jones, who was 96.
Yeah. What's JJ Watt? Is JJ Watt 98?
I don't know what he is.
No.
90 something.
That's a question for Jeremy.
He's 99.
Oh, is he 99?
I believe
Watt
so.
99?
Yeah.
Big Texan fan over here in our producer Jeremy from Houston, who pretends like he loves the Texans. Their marquee player from the last two decades of their existence, and he's all, I don't know. I don't know what number he is. What do you expect me to know at the number of most important player in franchise history? All right.
Yeah.
All right, we're taking the break here. Coming back. Got our 2 minute drill next. Stay with us right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.